message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Studying the Word of God is an important thing. It's important that you understand the Bible. And if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, it's vitally important for you to understand the Bible. And we teach the studies from the point of view of talking to Bible students. Now, if you're not a Bible student, you watch the program, and you'll see the difference between studying the Bible and what the Bible says and what religion does and what religion says. Fascinating thing that you can watch religion, and maybe you've been involved in religion of one kind or another, and you've gotten turned off by it. But my friend, let me assure you that if you get in the Word of God, it'll be an altogether different experience, because the Bible is a living book. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And the Bible is a life-giving book. And as you study it, you begin to see there's something different about what it says than what people say about it, or maybe even what people say that it says. So we want to study the Bible as it is, where it is, the way it is, and not simply what men presume that it teaches. A good place to start that's the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Verse number 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And in Christ, he says that you're complete in Him. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. That is, everything God has for you, He's given you the moment you're placed into the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's critically important for you to see that. Maybe if I diagram it just to emphasize it for you. Here's the body of Christ, and here you are as an individual. When you trust Jesus Christ, who died at Calvary, you look to Calvary and you say, "That's not His death, that's my death. He died for my sins. God put my sin on Him and poured out His wrath against my sin there on Calvary." God Almighty takes you and places you in the living union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He places you in Christ, and in Christ, in the church, the body of Christ. You're baptized by one Spirit into one body. That's the one baptism by the one Spirit into the one body. That instant that you trust Christ as your Savior, God places you into His Son. And in Christ, God gives you in Him a standing that is complete. He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:10 says, "And you are complete in Him." Everything God has for you is yours the instant you trust Jesus Christ, because in that instant, God the Holy Spirit places you into Jesus Christ. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's all in Christ. That's what makes the message of grace, and that's what this age in which we live, it's called the dispensation of the grace of God. The thing that makes grace so marvelous is that grace makes everything out of Jesus Christ. Nothing out of you, everything out of Him. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself." It's the gift of God, not of works. Not religious activity, not keeping commandments, not quitting your meanness or anything. It's by grace you're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. It's something God. You know how you get a gift? Somebody offers you a present, what do? You just reach out and take it. When you receive by faith what God offers you by His grace, that's salvation. Then you become His workmanship. God puts you in Christ. The first work He does is He puts you there in Him. That's the mechanics of positional truth. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Once you're in Christ, you've got everything God has for you. Now the rest of the Christian life is just a matter of finding out what God gave you. What does the gift consist of? What does the gift contain? If I gave you a gift, And I said, here, I want you to have it. It's yours. I love you. Here's a gift. And you took it and you said, thank you. And you took it. And what would you say? You'd say, thank you. You wouldn't say, how can I pay for it? Can I earn it? What can I do? You'd say, thank you. I appreciate it. And then you take it over and you sit it on the coffee table and you go on off and cook lunch. That ain't what you want to do. You know what I want you to do? I want you to open the thing. Did you ever get a gift and not know whether you ought to open it or ought not open it? Well, you ought to open it. Nobody ever gives anybody a gift except they want them to open the thing. No, they don't want you just to admire the package and, ooh, the bow, isn't that wonderful? You know, you get a present. My wife's always clipped, save the bow. God, he wants you to get in it, tear the paper off and dig into it and find out what he gave you. And when you find out what it is, use it and enjoy it and let it enrich your life. God gave you a gift. He gave you a gift of all spiritual blessings in Christ. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to get in there and find out what they are. And that's why he gave you a Bible. He gave you the Bible to tell you about what the gift contains. And he gave you the Word of God rightly divided. He shows you how to rightly divide the Word of God so you can go in the Bible and find out what God Almighty has written to you and what he's written about you. I've said to you before, and you have to understand, all the Bible is for you. But it's not all written about you. There are other people in God's programs who need Scripture for them. You're not all there is. But the church, the body of Christ, has a specific portion of the Word of God, the rightly divided Word of God that's about them. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts fits back here in time past. It's for us. It's for admonition and learning, but it's not written about us. It's written about God's purpose with the nation Israel. The books of Hebrews, who would book of Hebrews be written to? Hebrews. That's good. You got that. See, that's how you study the Bible, by the way. You know how you study the Bible? How you learn the Bible? You just say, you know what it says, the epistle to the Hebrews. So who's the book of Hebrews written to? Hebrews. And the next book is the book of James. You know who James is written to? If you read the first verse in the book of James, it says, James, a servant of Jesus Christ, unto the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Who's the book of James written to? The 12 tribes of Israel. How you know? First verse says it's written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Who's James written to? To the 12 tribes scattered abroad. You know how you know that? That's what it says. You know how you can decide and learn who James is written to? Just read the first verse. It's that easy. The Bible's not that hard to understand, people. You know what the Bible's problem is? It's hard to believe. Because it contradicts what you've always heard. And surely what you've heard... No, that book is the authority. It's the standard. Hebrews through Revelation are for you, but these books are written to you and about what God's doing today. These books back here are written about what God did in time past. These books over here are written about what God's going to do in the ages to come when Jesus Christ comes back over here, sets up His kingdom, and rules and reigns on this planet. They're written about the time of a period of the wrath, the tribulation period in here, and deliverance from the tribulation, Christ coming back, and the faithful remnant that's delivered into the kingdom. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He trains the 12 apostles, and then their ministry that they carry on over here after the Holy Spirit comes on them in the early Acts period after Christ goes away. Then you have the fall of Israel. God sets that program aside, and you have the dispensation of grace where we are in here. This thing in here, Paul says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. A heavenly people, not an earthly people, not the people to take care of His purpose on the earth like the nation Israel, but His people to take care of a heavenly purpose. This thing in here is called the mystery in your Bible. It's called the mystery because Paul says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, to you would have it by revelation, Jesus Christ from heaven's glory up here, not the Lord on the earth, not in His post-resurrection ministry, but in His heavenly ascended ministry from heaven, how the glorified Lord from heaven made known to me the mystery, the secret, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men as it is now revealed. He said His purpose was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, from the time back over here God put man on the earth, was hid in God. That mystery was hid back here from eternity past back here. God planned it. God purposed it. But He hid it in Himself. He kept it secret back here. Didn't tell anybody about it. And now has made it manifest. And now is identifying and telling you about it. And that information is found in Romans through Philemon in your Bible. And that's what God's doing. And the reason this information back here is for you but not about you, and that over there is for you but not about you, is that this stuff over here is part of the prophecy program. This ministry back here is part of prophecy. This is information that has been made known, preached about, prophesied, spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began, Peter says in Acts 3:21. As this is what was the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and notice this information. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Everything centers in Christ. He says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation, a purpose God had before the foundation of the world, but is now made manifest. One of the spiritual blessings is that God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. One of the spiritual blessings, verse 5, is that He predestinated us. These people in here, He's predetermined and predestinated us to the adoption of children. He's accepted us in the Beloved One, verse 6. He's given us redemption and forgiveness, verse 7. Verse 8 says, now, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. One of the spiritual blessings that God has given us is that He has abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. God Almighty has given us some wisdom and prudence, some knowledge and some ability to use that knowledge for our best interest. That's what wisdom is. Prudence is the ability to have insight and understanding into what God's doing. How did He give us that wisdom and prudence? Did He give it to us by going to school? Did He give it to us by denominational tradition, scholarship? Did He give it to us by some infilling, you know, some zap in the back room? Where just boom, you know, you got a lightning bolt ran down your back and stood all your hair up on. Didn't hurt you, you know, but just gave you this experience. Well, I know what He says. Verse 9 says, having given us all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Right here. According to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. God Almighty purposed back here before the foundation of the world to do something. And has made known to us now this eternal purpose that He had back there. You see, in Ephesians chapter 3, He calls it His eternal purpose. Chapter 3, verse number 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Get that now. Paul said, I want all men to see the fellowship of this mystery. What we share in common in this secret purpose of God. Make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which hath been hid, which was hid from the beginning of the world. Which from the beginning of the world, rather, hath been hid in God. God kept this thing a secret till He made it known. How that by revelation He made known to me the mystery. Who created all things by Jesus Christ to the intent that now, right here, under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You see, the impact that we have today as members of the body of Christ is not simply to be on the planet Earth. Israel will take care of that. It's to be in the heavenly places. We're a heavenly people with a heavenly prospect and a heavenly ministry. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm trying to get you to see that God's eternal purpose centers in something He's going to do with His Son. And we've had the mystery of that, the secret of it, revealed to us. God's overall eternal purpose has full. Do you understand today that there's no secret will of God out there for you? The secret will of God, the mystery, has been revealed. And it's in that book. And there's not some secret or some mystery out there for you to go find and, oh, what does God want? And I don't know, and I have to look around here and I have to kind of feel my way along because I can't really see it, you know, and I have to feel and use my feelings and my inner feelings and my circle. It's not that. Folks, you don't live your Christian life like a blind bat flying backwards in a dark cave. You live your Christian life, if you're going to live it for God, you live it in the light, having made known unto us the full light of the revelation of God's Word. The entrance of Thy Word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. And Paul said, no. The secret that God had about His will has now fully been revealed, having made known unto us, verse 9, the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. Here it is. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. God's purpose is to gather all the things in heaven up here and all the things in the earth down here in His Son, under the headship of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, even in Him. You see, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God's purpose that He had before the foundation of the world back over there, He's called us by His grace to a purpose that was designed back over here, kept secret, now revealed. From eternity past, it goes to eternity future. And God's purpose in all of this is that His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be the center of everything. Now, you and I need to understand that Jesus Christ, we need to think about God's plan and God's purpose in light not of our sin and our failure, and not in light of what we need to know, what we do and us, but we need to think about what, we need to see what the Father intended to realize in His Son. Because He says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, right there, unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. There are some things God intends to do, some good works God intends to perform with the body of Christ, not just here, but out in eternity out there, that you and I need to understand. We need to rejoice in. If you want, listen, folks, you need to be able to rejoice in what God's doing in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's an important issue. Now, there are some things about what God's doing in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that pertain to what God has been making known through time here. Now, we talk about the gospel, and we talk about getting saved. And there are some different gospel messages, some different messages of good news in the Word of God that God has laid out through the Scripture. And those different messages of good news have to be distinguished. The major division in your Bible is a division between prophecy back here and the mystery. And then you go back to the prophetic program over here in the earth, and the mystery program is fulfilled. You have time past where God reveals the prophetic program and details it from the foundation of the world. You have the but now section in here where the mystery program is revealed. Then you have the ages to come where the two are brought to fulfillment and fruition. But you know, all that God's going to do in both of those programs, prophecy and the mystery, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty took man and put him on the earth. And when He put man on the earth, He had a purpose for him. Man sinned, man fell, and God Almighty gave man a promise of a Redeemer to come out there. The first good news in the Bible, Genesis 3:15, what the theologians call the proto-evangel, is the promise of the seed of a woman who would come and do for man what man couldn't do for himself, that is, destroy the adversary, the devil. The man goes along here, and that seed of the woman becomes the seed of Abraham, and God separates away. First there's man back here, the seed of the woman. Then he becomes the seed of Abraham. God says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. Then Abraham, and then there's David. And David over here, is Abraham is given the promise of the land and the nation. God's going to make of him a great nation and going to give him a land, the land of Palestine. They belong to Abraham and his seed after him. David is given the promise of a throne and a kingdom, and a kingdom and a throne to rule over that kingdom in the land and over the nation. He's the son of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1 says He's the son of Abraham, the son of David rather, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. But He's also the son of man. But prior to that, He's also the son of God. That'll take us back to here. Son of man will take us to the beginning. Son of Abraham will take us to the time Abraham's called out. Son of David will take us into the time of David. And the son of David looks forward to that kingdom over there. The son of Abraham looks forward to that kingdom. But in regard to each one of these statuses of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, there is a good news. Jesus Christ is the son of David. And folks, when Jesus Christ came in His earthly ministry, He came preaching the good news of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom has to do with the throne promised to David. He not only preached the gospel of the kingdom, He sent His apostles out in the early Acts period to preach the gospel of the circumcision. That is, that in thy seed, Peter says in Acts 3:25, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The gospel of the circumcision has to do with the fact that God Almighty is going to bless the nations of this earth through the seed of Abraham, that the salvation and blessing of God is to go to the nations through Abraham. In the gospel of the kingdom, He gathers together, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He gathers together the governmental establishment, the little flock. He says, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And through that gospel of the kingdom, He gathers together that governmental agency. He gathers the agency together that's going to go out and carry on the purpose of God through the agency. So you have the gathering of the agency, the gathering of the little flock right in there. Then you go back a step into God's purpose. You're going back each step. You're going back to a previous purpose, to something God has purposed in His Son. The first one of this message focuses on the forming of the agency. Then there's the focusing on the wider purpose that the agency, the nation, has. The same with the gospel that goes back here. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. And folks, as the Son of Man, there's the gospel of the uncircumcision. Because to Paul was committed the gospel of the uncircumcision. Galatians chapter 2. Peter got the gospel of the circumcision, preached it in here. Paul is given the gospel of the uncircumcision. That is, it's not through Israel's covenants and promises and circumcision special status, but it's any man out here. God's broken down the middle wall of partition between men, and it's anybody, any believer, anyone of any stripe or hue that'll just believe. You don't have to belong to a special nation, a special religion, a special race, a special status. Anyone that'll believe, any man, God will save them by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the message given to Paul. Paul over here says, there is no difference. You know how God justified Abraham in Romans chapter 4? He didn't justify him when he was a circumcised man. Romans 4 says He justified Abraham in before He made him that special situation, before He gave him the sign of His covenant and separated him apart and built that middle wall of partition, God justified Abraham in uncircumcision so that he might be the father not just of the circumcision, but also those that are justified like he was in uncircumcision. But not only is Jesus Christ the Son of Man, He's the Son of God, and as the Son of God going back before the foundation of the world, we have the gospel, the grace of God, the purpose of God in His grace, this purpose that He had from before the foundation of the world. The first one of these messages, just like that first message, the gospel of the kingdom, focused on the forming of the agency of the nation Israel, and then the gospel of the circumcision preached in the Acts period focuses on the purpose of the agency. So it is that the gospel of the uncircumcision focuses on the forming of the church, the body of Christ, how God has put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, how God has done for man what man couldn't do for himself, and then the gospel of the grace of God goes back before the foundation of the world and talks about the purpose that God has in that agency. Now follow the thing. Matthew, and I know you can't read that if you tried. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ to the nation Israel only, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The book of Acts, you have in early Acts, you have that same group of people going out and preaching the gospel of the grace of God to the nation Israel with the purpose of God blessing them and then them being the channel of blessing to the nations. They refuse, and through the fall of Israel, salvation goes to the Gentiles, and you have the preaching of the gospel of the uncircumcision, that is the revelation of how God has put away man's problem and taken care of man's, of all the problems of all men through Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says, talking about God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Not just for some, not just for Israel, but for all. to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul said, I was ordained over here to proclaim the fact that Jesus Christ, when He died, didn't just die for Israel. He didn't just die for Abraham's seed. He died for all men, without any distinction and without any exception. That's part of what He was proclaimed, ordained to preach. But not only did he do that, but He also proclaims this message of grace. Goes way back there before the foundation of the world and takes you, as it were, right into the boardroom of the Godhead in eternity past. And God says, here, let me show you what I planned way back there in eternity past for you. Let me show you what I intend to realize, what I intend to do with my Son for all eternity. Something I've been planning for. You know, if some Wall Street trader called you up and said, I got some insider information. Now, I know, you know, some folks went to jail recently because of that. Got inside information and they traded, made a lot of... You know, somebody called you up and said they got some sure thing inside information. You know what you'd do? Well, you might do what those people did. You might take advantage of it and try to make yourself rich. You know what God says? It'd be illegal if you did. But you know what God says? He said, come on back into eternity past with me. Let's go back into the minutes of the board meeting back in eternity past and let me show you some insider information. I want to clue you in on my eternal purpose. And you want to tell me the Word of God is not interesting? You want to tell me the Word of God doesn't have anything for you? Oh, shaw, man. Grow up, will you? You know what that book is? Paul says, and folks, you don't want to stay way back yonder all the time, studying somebody else's mail. Get over here in what God's doing today, and you know what will happen? You begin to dig into that gift that God's given you in His Son, and you begin to see what God's done for you today and His grace. And you know what happens? God, the Holy Spirit, begins to take that and begin to make it real in your life and begins to change you by His Spirit from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone as your Savior? Have you ever believed in God's Son who died at Calvary to pay for everything that's wrong with you? If you hadn't, do it today and be saved. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, God's Eternal Purpose. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at the Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request the tape, God's Eternal Purpose. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. We trust our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.